Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dude!
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
$200. You're not gonna fraud
that's
me out
I
of
said,
money like a Power that's, Ranger.
That's,
okay.
Topical.
Topical.
Relevant. Relevant to the events of the last couple days.
Yeah, as they're dragging him away.
Zordon!
Zordon!
Save me, Zordon! Save me, Zordon!
It's still. Now listen. There's that part of me that wants to believe that it was. Just a bunch of group of guys who decided to get this
pyramid scheme
thing
going.
Together, and they brought Austin St. John on the hopes of like financing maybe something for him,
maybe putting a name on,
exactly. You know, and maybe he was completely unaware of the fraud that was going on, and I would like to believe, given the limited information that we have, that he was just a victim of circumstance, essentially. So we'll see.
We will only know if he's exonerated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Only that will tell if he was truly innocent. And even that doesn't tell sometimes.
Exactly.
Anyway.
I'm trying so hard to think of a play on words of It's Morphin Time in terms of legalities, but I can't think.
It'll come to you when you're about to fall asleep.
Yeah, probably be like, shit!
Yeah. Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. For those of you being dropped into what we were just saying, no, you didn't miss 5 minutes previous of recorded conversation.
Yeah.
That was just brought up with no context. But if you do want to know context, look up Austin St. John.
The original Red Power Ranger.
Google his name, and it'll probably the first couple stories will be about him just recently getting arrested, and he's caught up in a fraud scheme, a COVID fraud scheme or something.
Yeah, so a federal indictment shared by the Eastern District of Texas, USA. Attorney's office alleges that 18 people, including St. John, attempted to defraud the Small Business Administration's Paycheck Protection Program. While the program was used to provide relief to struggling businesses during the COVID-19 pandemic lockdowns that began in 2020.
Yeah.
It alleged that in total, the 18 defendants received more than $3.5 million across 16 separate small business loans.
Yeah.
And that was an excerpt from a People magazine article
about
it. But that's the long and short of it.
Yeah. And turn the page and you'll see Richard Gere is again the sexiest man alive.
He is evergreen.
Yo, yeah, baby.
He's
Evergreen.
Yeah, Evergreen. It's a lifetime achievement award. Sexiest man alive.
Yeah. Again, you weren't just dropped in missing 5 minutes of conversation previous. We were just carrying on whatever we were talking about before we started recording.
It's very unfortunate because Power Rangers was a huge deal to us growing up. And especially to me, since red was my favorite color growing up, the Red Ranger, and he just so happened to be the leader.
Yeah.
And he was kind of represented everything that was like good and upright and sanctimonious about like what it means to be like a good person and to help people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And of course it's just TV characters.
Yeah.
I get it. But that would really suck if it found out that he was very aware of what he was doing. It's like, that really, really sucks that you're kind of a low life.
Yeah. Hopefully if he's ignorant, he gets off, you know, he gets off of the indictment. But if
he gets off on frauding people.
Yeah, exactly. But if he is found guilty by a court of law, then you gotta sleep in your own
Tommy.
You gotta sleep in the beds you make there, Austin. That doesn't take away from our enjoyment of Power Rangers as...
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah, as hopefully this episode doesn't take away from your enjoyment of whatever we talk about.
Yes.
Because it's another Radcast ramble. Thank you all for joining us. And one thing that I have not mentioned, or we haven't mentioned in the past couple episodes, is something that I found when we started jumping back in to the Radcast.
Yeah.
Now, over the last, this summer will be 4 years podcasting for Matt and I.
Yeah.
Over the course of 3 shows.
And it doesn't feel that long, which is crazy. Four years, you say.
4 years. So our first podcast episode ever dropped in August of
2018.
Yeah. And that was with our first podcast with three of our very best friends, still to this day. They've been guests on this show and on Sucktastic Cinema. Two of them are five-timers. One of them's almost a five-timer.
Yep.
Jake Vilawald, Jeff Wright, Zach Matthews. It was called the Proper Gentleman Podcast, where it was very similar to what we do on here.
Yep.
And then this show, and then Sucktastic Cinema, which you did for the last year and a half.
Yep.
But over the course of those three shows, I saw that we are on the cusp of 200 podcast episodes.
Man, oh man.
That's
between three shows.
It's so crazy to say. This is going to be podcast episode 197 for us.
And that's not going to get confusing at all.
Yeah. But episode 197, that means we are counting down and on the road to 200, which we are hopefully still everything. Everything goes as planned, and everybody's still available.
Yep.
We have something really cool.
Really cool.
Really cool for you for episode 200. But we are not there yet. Again, we are on another Radcast ramble.
Yep. And if anything, this gives us an excuse to celebrate a milestone.
Exactly.
So why not?
Exactly. Because 4 years necessary. 4 years is great, but that's not like an anniversary or a milestone.
No.
But 200 episodes is.
That's some pretty big output.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're also like 17, 18 episodes away from 100 episodes of the Radcast.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to be doing some really cool stuff in 2022. But thank you again for joining us. I know we didn't have an episode last week. We were celebrating our very dear friend, Phil Giese, and his new wife, Catherine.
Yep.
That was excellent to watch. We love you, Phil.
Yep.
Proud of you.
Proud of you.
And thank you for listening, because Phil always lets us know when he listens.
Yes, which we greatly appreciate. So that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. But with it being a Radcast ramble, you all know we have a recurring segment.
I mean, it's pretty much the episode.
Exactly.
You
so,
know exactly what to expect.
So why don't we get into the historical events of the month of May with This Month in History.
This Month in History. Not what it seems to be. This Month in History. Just like you.
With the Ronnie James Dio.
With the Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah.
That's a reference to one of our other rambles from last year. Also, I'm going to have to listen back to some from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen back to some of those to make sure we're not getting
repeating historical events.
Yeah. More than likely we will, but I just don't want to make the same jokes. With May, June, July, August, I know for sure we have rambles with those months in this month in history. So we'll try and change it up.
Yes.
However, I don't remember what we all said
I
on
don't
May.
Remember.
So here's what you need to remember about the month of May. In May 1st, 1707.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. May 1st, 1707, Scotland and England form the UK.
Scotland!
Scotland!
I hate the Scots!
Scots and other Scots! And then Ireland would be included in that. Yeah. Wales would be included in that. 1939.
Dolphins.
Sea otters.
You know.
all the aquatic creatures.
Little fishies.
big sharks with big jowls.
Lighthouse attendants. Everything having to do with aquatic life.
Exactly. A lighthouse attendant rides to work on a dolphin.
Yeah, how the hell did they get out there?
Yeah. Anyway, the second event of May 1st.
I mean, no, it's not wrong.
Anyway,
yeah.
May 1st, 1939, Batman's first appearance in Detective Comics.
Oh, wow.
Which is on the wall somewhere in this apartment.
As you all can see.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, I have a 10 sign somewhere in my apartment that commemorates that. It's like a copy of the cover.
Yeah.
1961, Fidel Castro announces there will be no more elections in Cuba. Then he announces no more homework, and there will be soda in the vending machines.
It's Extra recess for everybody.
Extra recess for everybody.
And did I mention no more homework?
And visits to the teacher's lounge.
Yeah, let us do it.
1962, the first Kmart opens.
Cool.
May 1st.
K for cool.
Cool Mart. Please don't interrupt me after everything.
Blue light special.
May 1st, 1985, our pal and recurring guest Jeremy Weed is born.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
May 2nd, 1920, first Negro Leagues game played.
Cool.
1967, blindside star and BBQ stain on white t-shirt victim Tim McGraw is born. Because he had that song, got a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt.
Oh, okay. You see, you would know better than I would. You're a big country music
fan. I'm not a big country music fan, but I remember that song. I'm surprised you didn't.
I mean, I remember it now that you're singing it. I had no idea that was Tim McGraw.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could attribute it to probably 10,000 other country
artists. Literally, they all
artists.
Sound the exact same. So,
1972, The Rock is born. May 3rd, 1982, ABC's All Talk Network begins on radio. It's a network with a bunch of shows hosted by loudmouths posturing, then doubling back and cowering when confronted about things they said.
Man, I'm glad that's such a dated thing.
Yeah,
I'm glad now we can take accountability and have civil discourse.
Yeah, exactly. May 3rd, 2002, Spider-Man premieres. The Tobey Maguire one.
For some reason, I thought you said 1932.
No, 2002.
Okay. Sam Raimi one, yeah.
Yeah. May 4th, 1962, the U.S. did atmospheric nuclear testing on Christmas Island, which would later be the inspiration for the Island of Misfit Toys. 1965, Willie Mays breaks Mel Ott's National League home run record.
Yeah, baby.
In 1999, The Mummy premieres in theaters.
Yeah, love that
the
movie.
The Great Mummy.
Yes.
With the
beautiful,
with the ravishing Rachel Weisz.
Yes, the Hollywood's heartthrob hunk.
Oh, yeah.
Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Encino Man himself.
Yeah, exactly. May 5th is Cinco de Mayo, which celebrates an 1862 victory at the Battle of Puebla against French forces by an outnumbered Mexican army. Years later, the great upset would be commemorated by white people getting trashed and drunkenly yelling, Cinco de Drinko, baby!
Cultural appropriation at its finest.
Mm-hmm. 1944, Mahatma Gandhi freed from prison. He would later give a prison mic-esque speech to his followers. 1955, Indian Parliament accepts Hindu divorce. Because a lot of these facts are sandwiched between Kentucky Derby winners, I thought that was the name of one of the horses who won.
Hindu divorce.
Tom,
I just hope you know what you're Hindu-ing, okay?
Tom Jenkins wins the Kentucky Derby on his horse, Hindu divorce.
The horse, Hindu divorce.
1986, Cleveland announced as site of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum.
What year did you say?
In 1986.
Oh, 1986. Okay.
May 6th, 1865.
Oh, that's why I got, because you said May 6th, and I was like, did you say 19?
Well, it's May 5th, 1986.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
May 6th, 1856, Sigmund Freud was born. After being taken out of his mother's vagina, Freud looked at the doctor, lit a cigar, and said, how Oedipal of you. When he was circumcised, he accused all the doctors of having phallic complexes, and he then denied breastfeeding and forever developed an oral fixation, which he satiated by becoming addicted to Big League Chew.
Have you seen the bubbles you can blow? I like the man on the packaging. It's Big League Chew and Red Gatorade.
That's what I used to...
I have it before all of my Koi League baseball games.
Chomp.
Yeah, exactly.
May 6th, 1937, the Hindenburg explodes after the pilot took a break and tried to light his farts.
Oh, no. Did I do that? it's in the Hindenburg disaster, like how they use CSI type, like zeroing in technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do a quick zoom in and see it's Steve Urkel manning the Hindenburg.
And May 6th, 1954, Roger Bannister becomes the first man to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. May 7th.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I've run it in two.
I've run it in two. I can run it in 1 second.
I don't need 4 minutes. I can run a mile in a minute and a half.
Minute and a half.
May 7th, 1941, Glenn Miller and his orchestra record Chattanooga Choo Choo. Afterwards, Miller ran outside to take a shit on some train tracks, and he was immediately blasted by a train.
Usually they make like warning signs.
Yeah.
Or well, like a train whistle. It almost sounds like it happened from out of nowhere.
Yep. Out of a, well, it came out of like in Back to the Future Part 3.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Yes. Time traveler.
Yeah, exactly. Jules and Vern. yes. Underrated movie.
I love that movie.
1945, in honor of Miller's injuries, Germany signs unconditional surrender, bringing an end to the 6 years of war in Europe. And May 7th, 1956, British Health Minister R.H. Turton says no ill effects of smoking have been proven, and the link between lung cancer and smoking hasn't been proven either. He then took a drag of his cigarette through the hole in his neck. May 7th, 1824, Beethoven's Ninth premieres in Vienna. And of course, low-hanging fruit here, he didn't hear any of it. May 7th, 1974, Pulitzer Prize awarded to Robert Lowell. But in parentheses, it said dolphin. So I guess he was the first dolphin to win the award.
Yeah, I don't... Is it?
I think that's what his work he won the prize for.
Was dolphin. Call me dolphin.
Robert Lowell, dolphin.
Call me dolphin. No, as he's getting up there, it's like you can hear off my, Mr. Robert Lowell, call me dolphin, as he's walking up there.
May 7th, 1999, Pope John Paul II travels to Romania, becoming the first pope to visit a predominantly Eastern Orthodox country since the Great Schism of 1054. When asked about his experience, the Pope said, "The cold beer, hot babes, and good burgers."
the insania in Romania.
yeah, baby.
They made shirts. Insania in Romania.
And it's a big cartoon, like, caricature head of the Pope, but with, like, googly eyes.
No, it's the Pope is one of those big dog shirts.
Well, yeah.
He's in a hot tub with two other big dog babes. It says Insania in Romania.
May 8th, 1945, Victory in Europe Day declared. Victory in Europe declare. It's Victory in Europe Day. VE Day.
VE Day.
Where Winston Churchill makes the peace sign.
Yeah. and then...
sticks his tongue between it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Simulating cunnilingus.
Ew. May 8th, 1970, Beatles' final album released. May 9th, 1960, FDA approves first birth control pill.
FDR.
Yes, FDR approves the first birth control pill.
Looks fine to me.
May 9th, 1974, Nixon impeachment hearings begin. May 10th, 1889, a riot breaks out in front of the Astor Place Theater in New York when groups of theatergoers revolt against dress requirements for admittance. The spurned patrons in their female body inspector shirts and Zubaz pants lashed out and broke theater windows and caused major damage, resulting in soldiers being called in and 22 rioters being killed and 26 injured.
Their efforts won't be forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. 1924, J. Edgar Hoover appointed the sixth director of what would later be known as the FBI. He showed up to the ceremony in full Mrs. Doubtfire garb, then quickly kicked off his heels and ran out of the room saying, "Shit, I got my nights mixed up." 1965, Warren Buffett gains controlling interest in Berkshire Hathaway. He later renames it Old Country Buffet. 1994, duh. Nelson Mandela is inaugurated as president of South Africa. May 11th, 1942, William Faulkner publishes his book of short stories, Go Down Moses. It would later be revealed that Moses was a nickname for his wiener, and his short stories were autobiographical and chronicled his trials and tribulations of puberty. 1969, the Battle of Hamburger Hill began. The battle eventually resulted in the loss of thousands of Fry kids, a mortally wounded Duke of Doubt, a Purple Heart for Grimace, and several court-martials involving the Hamburglar and Sir Shakes-a-Lot. The Burger King Kids Club was dedicated in honor of those lost in the fight.
Mac Tonight.
Yes.
What did Mac Tonight do?
Mac Tonight wasn't born yet.
Oh, right, right.
Mac Tonight was the one who dedicated it at the Vietnam War Memorial.
Oh, yes, yes.
At the Vietnam Memorial Wall.
It's these images of Mac Tonight with his hand on the Vietnam Memorial Wall.
He's the one who cut the ribbon.
Yes.
In May 11th, 1985, our brother Andrew was born.
Cool.
And May 11th, 1998, our brother Tyler was born.
Cool.
May 12th, 1835, Charles Darwin visits the Punasillo copper mine in North Chile. It's here he theorized humans evolved from copper.
Of course. Yeah. I'd like to see a video of Charles Darwin at the Creation Museum in Hams. And he's just like, "What the hell is this? What is going on?"
on here? May 12th, 1967. Are You Experienced by Jimi Hendrix Experiments released. We ran experiments on Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix Experiments. You know.
He was made in a lab.
Yeah. I mean, no, he wasn't.
May 13th, 1938, When the Saints Go Marching In, recorded by Louis Armstrong and his orchestra. May 13th, 1981, Pope John Paul II was shot twice at close range while waiting in line at a theater to see Friday the 13th Part 2.
You shot me, you a-hole.
He later publicly forgave his assailant, but threatened that if he tried to pull anything like that again, he'd use his wizard powers on him.
You've been warned.
The power of flight.
The power of flight.
Why don't you heal yourself, Pope John Paul II? May 14th, 1804, Lewis and Clark depart St. Louis to begin their expedition to explore the Northwest. May 15th. Oh, okay. Here's what. Okay. I think this was just a thought I had.
Insert joke here.
Why is it blank? May 15th. For May 15th events, I saw a picture of Susan B. Anthony from 1869, and she looked super old. So I started singing. You're as old as shit. No use in hiding it. Oh, no. May 16th, 1929, first Academy Awards are held. 1966, Beach Boys release Pet Sounds.
Mm-hmm.
1985, so May 16th, 1985, Pope John Paul II arrives in Belgium.
Uh-oh.
The Vatican reported that the Pope drank so much soda that weekend, they nicknamed the trip JP's Journey to Belgium.
I was just about to say. JP2, the trip to Belgium.
But May 17th, 1875, the first Kentucky Derby race took place at Churchill Downs.
Hmm.
In 1954, Brown versus Board of Education ruled segregation in schools to be unconstitutional.
Yeah, baby. Go fuck yourself, racists.
Yeah. May 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens erupts. This happened when two 12-year-olds had, at the top of the mountain, poured in a large vat of vinegar while a helicopter dropped in a massive crate of baking soda.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
My experiments! Or they used the same amount of baking soda they would on a model volcano. I'm like, oh, no, it's working!
Yes. May 19th.
May 19th! May 19th!
Except,
May 13th! May 13th!
Yeah, except it was a botch. May 19th, 1536, Anne Boleyn beheaded. The way her head rolled is where the inspiration for bowling came from.
Well, I'll be.
May 19th, 1925, Malcolm X was born. 1992, Amy Fisher shoots Mary Jo Buttafuoco in the face over an affair with Mary's husband, Joey. May 19th, 1999, for the 7th anniversary commemorating the event, Star Wars Episode I is released in theaters.
The Phantom... Jamie Fisher is the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, Jamie Fisher.
Yeah, exactly. Amy
Fisher is the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, exactly.
May 20th, 1927, Charles Lindbergh embarks on the first nonstop solo flight from New York to Paris. When he arrived in Paris 33 hours later, he went up to a podium and apologized for accidentally spilling his piss bottle over a small French village before he landed. He said, I was just trying to take a drink and my plane sputtered and jolted me forward, so the bottle slipped out of my hand. Excuse moi, I'll hold it until I can use an une toilette next time.
Excuse moi.
May 20th, 1932, Amelia Earhart May 20th, 1932, Amelia Earhart became the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. When reaching her destination, she went up to a podium and apologized for dropping her piss bag over the side of the plane.
Piss bag. This must be a pilot thing.
Yeah, I'm a pilot, you know.
Phantom Menace.
Yeah. May 21st, 1968, Paul McCartney and Jane Asher attend an Andy Williams concert. So I guess it was a slow news day.
Yeah, I was like, is that it?
Yeah. 1977, Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder starts his three-week run at number one. May 21st, 1980, Empire Strikes Back opens. May 22nd, 1947, Congress approved the Truman Doctrine, which assured U.S. support of a Greece Turkey to prevent the spread of Oh, wait. That's Greece and Turkey.
Oh, right.
To prevent the spread of communism. Not a sweaty-looking anthropomorphic turkey. We must not let communism slip through our grasps and gobble up our society. Greece, Turkey, 2024.
Greece, Turkey, 2024.
1972, Richard Nixon becomes first U.S. president to visit Moscow. Nixon would go on to say, "No wonder no president has been here. It's colder than a witch's tit."
It's a pretty nice place. So says I.
Marry an emergency room.
Take me to the Kremlin. I want to see if it's built by gremlins.
Yeah. May 23rd, 1934, Bonnie and Clyde are gunned down in an event that would later help in romanticizing the two criminals.
So romantic.
Yeah. May 24th, 1884, the Brooklyn Bridge opens up to traffic. And some would say has never cleared up.
The Brooklyn Bridge. Welcome to Brooklyn. It's Brooklyn Bridge.
May 25th,
1935. That was opening day.
Yeah, okay. The person was just rambling to themselves.
And just walking along the Brooklyn Bridge.
May 25th, 1935, Jesse Owens breaks three world records at a Big Ten meet in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Cool.
1968, the Gateway Arch is dedicated.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, look, it's the arch.
Yeah, May 25th, 1977, Star Wars opens up in theaters. May 26th, 1805, Lewis and Clark spot the Rocky Mountains. Immediately, Lewis says, "I thought the Rockies would be a little rockier than this," which Clark responds with, "That John Denver's full of shit." May 27th, 1937, Golden Gate Bridge opens. May 27th, 1961, first black light is sold, forever making us suspicious of the motels we stay in.
Oh, yes.
May 27th, 2005, Madagascar premieres, starring Ben Stiller, David Schwimmer, and pre-slap Chris Rock and Jada Pinkett Smith.
What? Oh, yeah, they did do that movie together.
Mm-hmm. May 28th, 1956, known freak Dwight Eisenhower signs a farm bill allowing government officials to marry farm animals.
I knew I liked Ike.
Yeah, exactly. 2003, Patrick Waugh announces retirement from the NHL.
R.I.P.
Yeah, bye-bye.
He's not dead.
Bye-bye, Mr. Canadian guy. May 29th.
Mr. Crazy guy.
Yeah, May 29th, 1917, JFK was born. 1942, Bing Crosby records White Christmas. 1953, Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay become first explorers to reach the top of Mount Everest. They celebrated by getting lattes at the Starbucks that operated at the mountain's peak. May 30th, 1911. May 30th, 1911, first running of the Indianapolis 500. 5 years later, they started using cars in the race.
I was going to say they ran.
May 30th, 1970, Tigers' Al Kaline collides with another player and swallows his tongue. This is the first instance of accidental French kissing in MLB history.
Starts waving his hands like a little kid.
What actually happened was the collision caused Al Kaline to swallow his own tongue.
Yeah.
Which was life-threatening.
And of course.
And he'd be in the hospital. He said he didn't remember, like, any of it.
How do you fix that?
I don't know.
Al Kaline.
I haven't had the pleasure of swallowing my own tongue.
Yeah. Although I had heard of that when I was younger, and it scared the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I swallow my own tongue?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Yeah. May 31st, 1819, Walt Whitman is born. His most important contribution to history was a poem he wrote that made Uncle Jesse look like a jackass in Full House.
Mr. Walt Whitman. It's called "O Captain, My Captain."
It's about Abraham Lincoln. Why do they call it "O Lincoln, My Lincoln"? May 31st, 1859, Big Ben rings out for the first time, the final bell toll for Uncle Jay's pride. And that was this month in history.
All right.
All right.
How come you didn't detail "May the 4th be with you" in there?
Because I just didn't. There was a lot of Star Wars stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's no "May the 4th is with you" or "May the 6th.
The 4th of May is with you.
May the 6th also be with you.
Remember the 5th, the 4th, "May the 4th be with you."
Yeah, like any of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, sorry, no "May the 4th stuff. However, another historical thing that I think every now and then, I know you listeners out there do the same thing, but every now and then we revisit things from something comes up that reminds us of things that we grew up doing or watching, playing.
That's kind of the name of the game here.
I happened upon a YouTube channel that was doing a playthrough of Backyard Baseball.
The original.
The original.
From 97, the computer game, before they polluted it with all those pros and all that shit.
And
professionals, not pros as in Mike.
And not so much maybe polluted it, because there are a lot of people who like that, prefer that.
Yes.
I think I didn't really prefer the pros because it was getting in the way of the players that I had been drafting for years up to that
because
point.
Because naturally, I would just make a team of pros. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have a limit to how many professionals I can have on this team. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to stock my team with professionals. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, that's more on me than it is on the actual games and how I chose my teams. But I just felt like I wanted the original cast of characters. Mm-hmm. You build your team from kids in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You don't have to – there's no, I want Pablo Sanchez or I want Stephanie Morgan, but like – Nomar Garcia-Parra is right here.
Yeah.
Like, Jim Thome could be my first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Pudge Rodriguez is my catcher. And there's obvious advantages because the kid versions are like, great, like, the adult versions. Mm-hmm. So, the temptation, I shouldn't have said they polluted it. My tendency was always to chalk my team full of pros. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you would have had, like, a limit...
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can only pick two for your team.
Yeah.
Then it's a nice mix of, it's the cool added addition. Because it was a cool addition.
It is. It's a very cool addition.
And it was not only the expansion of sports, but, like, you introduce professionals in there. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you would have had a limit, at least the game that we had, then I could have a mix of professionals and... Mm-hmm. But again, that's just on me.
Yeah. And again, it just came from us just always playing the original, which we didn't
get.
We got it
in Kellogg's box.
Yeah. In 1997, it came out. And I remember on the Freddie Fish 3 Search for the Magic Conch, there was a demo for it.
Yeah.
And I remember playing the demo a ton.
Yeah.
And then in 2002, General Mills started re-releasing it and some of its cereal. And that's where we got it from. And we played it.
All so
the time. All the time.
So many Saturday afternoons on the computer just playing game after game. Mm-hmm. It sucks you in.
Yeah.
And it's real. Like, it's not overly complicated. Mm-mm. The idea is backyard baseball. It's kids from the neighborhood playing at different backyard stadiums. Mm-hmm. And it's got this, this kid touch to it, to where it's like, it's not like fastball, curveball, changeup. It's heater, slow ball, left hook. Right hook.
Yeah.
And then you could have all these upgrades like aluminum power and stuff
screaming
like that.
Line drive.
Screaming line drives.
Undergrounder.
And pitching, you could have the like a freeze ball.
A heater. Like a fireball.
Like an upgrade to your heater and stuff like that. And
elevator pitch.
And it was point and click. So it's not like you had to memorize different buttons and stuff. They had the strike zone, and then as the ball came in, you clicked the spot of the strike zone that was coming in, and you hit it or you missed it.
Yeah.
Same with fielding and running and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a blast.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
It was. So I watched this guy. He has three videos. Two of them are him playing through. The channel's called Not the Expert.
It's a great channel. I really like it.
It's a great channel. His narration... And the timing of his jokes and his commentary are pretty good.
Yeah.
They were fun watches. They're like 20, in between 20, 22 minutes each. And he has two videos with the original and then one with the one from 2001.
Yeah.
Which was the first upgrade to pros.
Yeah.
I loved watching them because it was all this sensory memory stuff. The music and then the intro.
When he gets to the treehouse menu all the teams, like the Melonheads, the Rockets, the Bombers.
All the little audio clips here. We want a batter, not a broken ladder. It's batter, batter, batter.
Yeah.
Can't score a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so just all of these things, all the noises. All right,
dude.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
All these the noises and the sounds and everything.
Noise.
Exactly. It just threw me instantly back to being 11, 12, into our teenage years, to where it got the disc got so scratched up because it wasn't just you and I. It was our younger brother, Tyler. It was our older brother.
Sometimes Andrew.
Sometimes our older brother would play it too. And when I sent him, we have a group text, the four of us, and I sent from the Backyard Sports fandom wiki, it was the giving the fact of the 2002, it was re-released in post-zero boxes when we got it. And I said, I had like made a comment about it. And Andrew put it as like, oh yes, the dance you have to do in order to see if it plays or not this time or something like that. And I was like, it was
I forgot about that.
It
struggle.
Was the epitome of third time's a charm.
Yeah, exactly. It was the same thing with like the PlayStation 2 when sometimes it just doesn't work or is it gonna go into the game to the PlayStation 2 or is it gonna go into the screen that says can't read discs stuff like that.
Exactly. So and what stinks is I'm sure somebody somewhere has created an emulator for it and there's places that you can download it, but then you have to download all these attachments and it's hard to find the disc itself for like under $50 to $100. I almost would pay like $40 for it. However, like it's just I would dedicate time to like you said on a Saturday. It's no different than like playing the show or something like that or playing a video game like during the week. It's paying $40 for that, and then my computer isn't
Will it even read on like newer computers?
So it's one of the things that I don't want to let be in the past, but eventually it may. However, before we end the episode, I, Matt, would like to go through, for those of you listening who are familiar with Backyard Baseball, you are all familiar with the cast of characters.
Yes, or at least likely. Or at least as we name them, you'll remember them.
Yeah.
Plus, well, I was watching the Not the Expert video, and just the look of it, the very computer gamey look, and Sunny Day and Vinny the Gooch, the announcers and stuff, it was just so well done, and the attention to detail was so fun,
and it's diverse.
It's extremely diverse in the kids and like ethnicities, backgrounds, stuff like social. The standing, you know, whatever. You got rich kids. You have kids like middle class.
Hillbillies.
Yeah, exactly. Marky Dubois.
But who would you always draft, Matt? Like, because we every now and then there may be one or two players we'd shy away from and get somebody else. Yeah. But mostly we kept it to the same nine people.
So the draft screen, just the draft screen first was really cool because you get all the kids and they're all sitting on bleachers. You can click on each kid and it pulls up like player cards and it gives you like they talk. They're like, you should pick me for your team because
you gives know, a little blurb
it,
about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it gives some background on them and then it gives their ratings. So there's pitching, hitting, running, and fielding. And they each get, like, if their hitting has four baseballs next to it, it's like the star system, like a five-star, four-star, stuff like that. And they would eat for each four characteristics, they get a ball rating for each. Mm-hmm. And so you might have, oh, this person's really good at hitting, but they're really slow, like a Jocinda Smith or something. Or you got like a Pablo Sanchez who's like maxed out on everything except pitching, but his pitching's three out of four. So that plays into the strategy. You learn kind of strategy. This person has a good bat, but I don't want to put them at, I don't want to put them in the outfield because they're slow. What if it goes over their head kind of
or
stuff?
Or you bat a Jocinda Smith before a Pete Wheeler or who else was fast? Surprisingly, Dmitry Petrovic was
Kenny
fast.
Kenny Kawaguchi. Kimi Kawaguchi?
Yeah, you don't want to put somebody slow ahead of somebody fast because...
Or Vicky Kawaguchi, not Kimi Kawaguchi.
Because you get the player with speed hitting it up against the wall, but the slow player is in front of them, and it's like you can't...
Move!
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to point and click the arrow on the base path of where you want them to go.
Yeah.
So these were ones that I always got, and I have little... Just little things as to why.
Yeah.
Pablo,
He's the legend.
I don't know of anyone that played backyard baseball that didn't get Pablo Sanchez.
No, he is first draft pick every time. He's a small little kid with his pot belly out of his shirt, his hat
but
sideways.
He does it all.
He does it all.
So there was the same few people, mm-hmm. and then occasionally I'd try and switch it up with people I'd never gotten before, just to kind of see.
Mm-hmm.
So Pablo Sanchez, Pete Wheeler, he's probably the second best player in the game. He's an idiot. Like,
what?
But he's super. They call him Wheels. He's mm-hmm. the fastest player on the game,
mm-hmm.
and he's good all around. I'd use him at pitcher as well because he was a good pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmed Khan, solid bat, good glove.
He's a middle, like a middle relief guy.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
He had a good enough bat to where I could put him like fifth or sixth in the lineup, mm-hmm. maybe like second, batting second.
Yeah.
Justin Smith, like we just said, great glove, great bat, easily the slowest player on mm-hmm. the game.
Yeah.
Just very methodical, just very like relaxed in her movements. Like, no, go, go, go. Put her in the outfield one time and that was a mistake.
Yeah. I would put her at catcher.
Routine fly balls just would go over. I'd put her at catcher or first base. Mm-hmm. Like that's where I'd put her.
Yeah.
And she was so slow to get them. Mikey Thomas.
Ooh, man.
Not a guaranteed, but he was one of those. He was kind of a short, stout kid.
Yeah.
Kind of.
He had a big bat.
Kind of a.
Perpetually, like had a cold.
Yeah, exactly. But he literally, his bat looks huge.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing is, he would either hit a bomb or hit a ground ball.
He would tend to be a player like an Adam Dunn who would have a batting average for the season of like .230 but hit like 50 home runs.
Yeah, exactly. Kenny Kawaguchi, I mean, he's the best pitcher on the game.
Yeah.
Like that's his mm-hmm. pitcher and his speed, which even as a kid I thought he's in a wheelchair. but actually
he would
propelling the he has to propel the wheelchair himself. It's not an electric wheelchair, so never mind. Forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just as difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Keisha Phillips,
big
bat. And she was fast for her size.
Yeah, I remember her being kind of middle of the road speed, but like she was my Mark McGwire. Like she was she was power, she's a cut up, and she had put her at first base.
I think and then the last one that I would always pick was Stephanie Morgan.
Yeah.
It's really she was the cover athlete. Her ratings and all this stuff was like mostly three balls and then maybe a couple were two balls.
So, yeah.
But I mean, I picked her because she was the cover athlete.
Right.
And I picked her because I played with her in the demo mm-hmm. and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was pretty good all around. And plus I never had to think about getting a shortstop or who to put at shortstop because she says, she's like, you should put me at shortstop.
Yeah.
And if you pick me, put me at shortstop, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. Some of my occasionally I pick Ernie Steele. You have a good glove, kind of tall, lanky kid.
I heard he's a good pitcher, too.
Yeah. Angelo Del Vecchio I'd get sometimes if I wanted to bolster my pitching staff.
She had a four. She couldn't do anything else but pitch.
Yeah, I think I got Vicky Kawaguchi one time for speed. Amir Khan. If I get the usual suspects, the regulars, and I'm like, let's switch it up. Or if I can't think, I'm like, Amir, who's mm-hmm. Ahmed's little brother, who was... He had a good glove.
Yeah.
So you put him in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And then like a Dmitry Petrovic.
Yeah.
And then I would never even consider like a Reese Worthington.
No.
Or the Weber twin sisters.
Yeah.
Or Sally Dobbs or Marky Dubois.
Billy Joe Blackwell
like,
or something.
Some of those players, I'm like, look at their rate. Who picks these players?
Yeah.
They are not good.
And it's not like in later games, whoever you don't pick can end up on the opposing team.
Yeah. I
don't think that happens on here.
It doesn't in the original one because then it would just be the teams you would play would be like generic kids. And I'm like, I kind of want, like, I mean, looking at it now, I'd be like, it kind of would have been cool if maybe not whole entire teams of kids that weren't picked, but the kids that weren't picked on some of the teams that I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
Not for some continuous, like, you didn't pick me, like, I'm going to hit a home run kind of thing. But I don't know, it'd just be kind of cool to kind of see what you missed out on.
Right.
So maybe the next time I play, I'm like, I kind of want to get like a Marky Dubois or something mm-hmm. like that. But those kids didn't even have, because even some of the kids I would get, like a Dmitry Petrovic, at least
he'd have one thing. And I'm like, yeah, he's not good here, here, and here, but his bat is this.
His bat.
Or like a Mikey Thomas.
Yeah.
Everything else wasn't very good, but his bat was really good.
Mm-hmm.
These kids didn't have anything to where it was like, well, at least that's really good.
Yeah.
The best they might get is like three stars or like three balls on pitching or something.
Or fielding.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I need bats. We need runs. Yeah.
I liked finding people. I would always, my pitching would always be, there was a point where I stopped getting Kenny just because I wanted bats. But Kenny,
he wasn't the best hitter.
No, it would be Kenny, Pete. I always threw Ahmed in there. If I had Stephanie Morgan, I'd throw Stephanie in there.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'd put in like a Keisha Phillips or Pablo. Pablo, it was pretty consistent.
Oh, pitching.
Yeah, pitching.
I thought you were saying on your team. I was
every now and then I'd throw in like a Keisha Phillips.
Yeah, yeah.
And just because what happens is, and I love this. I love this aspect too. It's they have a juice box.
Yeah,
and they have
that's
like,
their it's, stamina. It's, like,
and
meter.
It's a long straw.
Yeah,
and one of the perks you can get, and you get perks from striking out. And,
that's what it is. It's perks and upgrades. And
get,
and stuff
I think
like
you
that,
get
yeah.
batting upgrades from hitting special pitches from the other team. But
I want to play this game so bad.
Yeah,
right now.
One of the perks was it's like this big juice cooler.
Yeah,
and you could do that, and it fills the straw back up.
Yep.
But I would just put in people just to get my starter out of there. So anybody who seemed halfway decent at pitching.
Yep.
But my team was usually Pablo. Obvious for all the reasons we said.
Yeah.
He's the best all-around player.
He's the secret weapon.
Exactly. He's known as the secret weapon.
Yeah.
Adios, baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Wheeler, of course, because he could be somebody who bats like 600 just because he can hit a little dribbler, but he turns it into an infield single.
I mean, he really is the second best player on the game.
Yeah. Also, I noticed in Not the Experts video that I forgot about is later in the game, Pete will start to slow down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That's a great attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and plus, when Pete would throw, when he threw, he would spin around.
He'd spin around and throw it.
Yeah.
And also, I noticed Not the Expert's timing wasn't really down. Like, because it's point and click. And there's a couple times where he's even like, too early.
Yeah,
he's like,
I haven't played this game in a while.
Like, I didn't mean to click that time. Because he's like, you know, I didn't really fare well with Keisha and Jacinda. And I was like, how can you not fare well with them? And then I watched and I was like, you're a little early or you're a little late.
Plus, I don't know if this is something we just never paid attention to. Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember being able to change the skill level. I just always thought it was.
Yeah.
It just was the game.
I feel like I remember that.
Maybe.
But it's not something we ever really looked for.
Because I don't distinctly remember, it's at hard. I'm going to move it down to easy.
Yeah.
I just played whatever the game is. I think it's always at medium.
Yeah. Because he got no more than like four runs in a game. And I was like, I remember smashing teams.
So that must have been after he because I watched the first video you sent and he won like 13-0.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just realized I didn't switch it to hard.
That makes sense.
So that's probably why.
That's part of it. Okay. Because that makes more sense.
I haven't watched his other backyard baseball videos.
Granted, still his timing's a little, like a tad off in some spots. I also remembered how irritating pop flies could be because like you can turn errors off, but like there's the likelihood it could bounce off you or you can miss it and it bounces to the fence.
Literally bounces off kids' faces. You're like, all right, routine pop fly, here it is. It's like dunk. And the kids like,
it falls.
I'm like,
over.
Come on.
Kids run into each other. It's like, God damn it.
But that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Because kids run into each other. Mm-hmm. They fall over. That's awesome.
I think he was doing his one where he did Backyard Baseball 2001.
Yeah.
Under the settings, you can either do errors or no errors. And on the little message under the errors is let kids be kids.
That's great.
That's a great aspect of it.
Yeah.
But mention Jacinda Smith.
Yeah.
Obviously, she was my catcher because she was not fast. And the best I wanted her to do was just take a couple steps to get a ball that was dribbled in front of her.
Yeah.
I just need you to be fast enough to field it and throw it to first.
I think he put her at third base. And I was like,
don't do that.
It's a stretch.
Mikey Thomas, which we mentioned.
Yeah.
Mikey was a monster.
Yeah.
Like, I never had trouble batting like 400 with him.
He was kind of the secret weapon. Yeah. Like, there's really nothing secret about Pablo Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess because of his size, like, inherently be like, oh, they're going to think that he's not good. Mm-hmm. But to us, the audience, to the players, we're playing, there's no secret about it. Mikey Thomas is kind of that secret weapon.
Plus, he'd always be like, thank you for picking me. Yeah. And I was like, you're welcome, Mikey.
Yeah.
I want to give you all the good things.
Yeah. MVP. You are the MVP.
Yeah. Ahmed Khan. Ahmed Khan is the workhorse. To me, he's one of the most... He's
the Guy Germain.
He's the definition of solid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
he's solid wherever you put
him. He's not Adam Banks. He's not Fulton Reed. Not Charlie Conway. Yeah. But he's Guy Germain. And Guy was the solid choice on the Ducks. Yeah.
I just wish he would stop playing air guitar when the ball's coming right towards him.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I just remember that. Yeah. Like, no! Pay attention!
Ahmed!
Yeah. It's kids.
We mentioned Keisha. Keisha
Phillips.
Keisha's the slugger, man.
Yeah.
Dimitri. I always got Dimitri because I think I mentioned earlier, surprisingly fast and a good bat.
He was fast. Yeah. Batter.
The equal to the equal.
We want a batter, not a broken laddie, you know.
Yeah.
Who said, was that Angela Del Vecchio that said that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or either Angela or Tony.
Yeah.
Kenny was pretty consistent for me, but I later stopped really getting Kenny and tried out other people.
Yeah.
Stephanie, same thing.
Yeah.
I would sometimes replace her with Amir Khan. And then I think once in a season, it might have been just an exhibition play, I picked Marky Dubois. But it had to have been a season
Is it Dubois or Dubois?
Dubois. I don't know.
Whatever.
Some bumpkin.
Yeah.
I don't think I finished that season, so I never saw it through.
Right.
Not the expert picked Jorge Garcia.
I saw that, yeah.
And I was like, stop picking Jorge. Even with the pros, I was like, stop picking Jorge. Jorge is terrible.
Yeah, he's not good.
But, I mean, that's we have to, we'll dedicate an episode of Backyard Sports one of these days.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I only played the original Backyard Baseball.
We had Backyard Hockey.
I remember
we got Backyard Hockey.
I didn't like it as much. Yeah, it was easy to let up goals, which at the time was a big deal to me. Now I don't really care. But, we had one of the Backyard Baseballs with the pros.
Mm-hmm.
It was Mike Piazza, I think, was on the cover.
Yeah.
And other than that, I don't think we had anything else.
Yeah. But fine with me.
We can still do an episode about it.
Yeah. Those of you out there, hit us up. Let us know who you drafted. Obviously, Pablo is going to be the shoo-in.
Of course.
But let us know who you drafted. So that was this ramble go-around. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah.
And until the next time.
Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? See you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.